This afternoon, we do have a quorum, so I can call this meeting to order at this time. Want to follow the agenda of regarding the installation of the murals at the convention center. After our last meeting, where I spoke in favor of the plan because of the what I thought was an unbelievable amount under the over the $750,000, I talked to Merrill Cranley, and I asked him if he'd agree to a cap on the $750,000. He said he would. You know, and then we talked about 3 or 4 year payback, and he agreed to that. And then we talked about no interest on this, and he agreed to that. This is before the county really addressed the issue, although Jeff had some meetings with them. I think that was helpful in that regard. So that's been the extent of my involvement with this issue, given the understanding of my change in attitude of number one, the amount, and number two, listening to more of some passionate feelings about people who do think that it's important that we not trash the murals that could be considered valuable to as Cincinnati asset. So that's my story and take on this, and I'd like to see Jeff, if you have some elaboration on
Not a whole lot of elaboration. The cooperative agreement that you have in front of you, I could go through the history on this in its entirety, but everyone was here last time, so no need to really do that. But the agreement you have in front of you, I think, attempts to do what it was the CFA had asked last time. I think the CFA had initially said that they didn't think that, and I'm paraphrasing what I think was the majority of the board, saying that they didn't think that a CFA-led financing strategy was the right way to do this. It would be inefficient for multiple reasons, the size of the amount, et cetera, but that if the county and the city wanted to agree mutually on an approach to use residual dollars, that the CFA would be amenable to approving that if we came back. So the commissioners, I met with the commissioners, Dan had talked with the mayor. Ultimately, what you have in front of you is a cooperative agreement that has been worked through the city and the county processes that, as Dan said, would it references a $750,000 project, and I think we heard from Mr. Koopman that may or may not be the total, but that from the county's perspective, at least, the agreement would be that we would split the costs on the $750,000. The county's portion would be capped at $375,000. So if the project runs over, the remainder of the fund would come from the city. It is over the county has the ability and the city has the ability to pay back over a 4 year period. Initially, I had recommended that we go as high as 5. It was a little awkward trying to do that. I want to thank Marion and Elizabeth and Karen Alder, who's not here today, for working this through on the phone. My intent in trying to do 5 was literally just to provide on the county side us with the most flexibility in terms of paying back. It would have taken us 1 year outside the current cooperative agreement. And there are some fairly seminal issues that we have to address after this cooperative agreement. We have to address whether to continue suspending the annual contributions of the city and the county. By that time, we'll be talking more about what levels promotion and marketing we're doing on the centers, whether that's right. I didn't want to take it out. I didn't want to extend it any longer than it was already extended, so we just left it at 4 years, and that meshes up with our current time cycle of cooperative agreements. So aside from that, the resolution did pass City Council, I believe, right? It did pass with a majority board vote on from the county. So it is here now for consideration of the CFA, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Would you or Roger, before we open up for questions, would you or Roger like to review some of the highlights of this that go along with our agreement and
the general agreement?
In terms of what they are, that where we put the limits and caps so that we can open everything up for discussion.
Sure.
Full knowledge of what this whole thing is about.
Sure. So there's really very little change from the 6 supplement to the cooperative agreement. Do people have copies of it in front of them? Okay, if you do, the pages aren't numbered, but if you flip 1, two, three, the fourth section back, that's where it starts talking about the use of residual funds. And all of this should look very familiar to those of you that have seen this before. From the county side, the first $1.3 million goes to Sharonville for debt service on this facility that we're sitting in. To the extent available, the next million goes to the CBB for marketing and promotion, then up to $300,000 for regional capital projects. We're now in the second grant cycle of that. We have applications in. We had we'd given out the first cycle a year or so ago. Then $50,000 for maintenance to the Sharonville Convention Center. And then, to the extent available, the next $93,750 to the mural project. If you and then if there's any amount above that, that can be used by the county for any use consistent and recognized with ORC 351.
And if there is no amount left after the first three items?
If there is no amount left after the first
three. Does the county owe that anyway?
The way the wording is that the obligation would roll to the next year.
Okay.
So the county wouldn't owe it.
Okay.
This is all for you. This is all payable through transient occupancy taxes. There'd be no general fund liability or anything like that. Under city residual funds, I don't want to speak for the city, but just pretty straightforward. $230,000 to the operation and maintenance and repair and replacement of the Duke Energy Convention Center, I believe. Is that right? The next $300,000 would go to the CBB. Then the same amount for the mural project, and then the next $300,000 for maintenance also at the Duke Energy Center. And then any amount that they have over and above that is split 50-50 between the CBB and Duke Energy Center. Mm-hmm. And then you get into a couple of sections after this that talk about the $750,000 project, payable in four installments of $93,750 over the four-year period. And it talks about the rollover until the amount is satisfied. The last sentence of item A there talked about under no circumstances shall the county's obligation exceed $375,000. And item C talks about any costs over and above the estimated $750,000 shall be borne by the city of Cincinnati. So this is. And there's some of the other provisions in here basically say every other term of the sixth supplement carries forward. So there are some other terms in that in terms of some city payments to the CBB, some city payments to the county. All of that stuff carries forward. Really, the only thing new in here is the language that relates to the mural project. So, for what it's worth.
Roger, anything to add to that?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I think Jeff synopsized it pretty well. I think the city and the county came together fairly quickly once we could start talking about the actual terms of the agreement. Clearly, there was a majority approval from both sides.
Gwen, do you have any comments you'd like to offer?
No, I'm just glad that we got through this. We were able to work through it. And yeah, I just appreciate everyone's intake and thoughts and sharing that as well in writing. I think it sent a message to the county and the city that we were serious, just as serious as they were, and that we wanted to work out some type of solution that would be good for the county and the city and everyone else as well, but to be fair. So I think this is fair. It seems fair and equitable.
As fair as we can be to get the job done.
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody else have any comments on that?
Jeff or Roger here. On the ownership transfer here, is that being made into this also? Right now it's technically owned by the airport. So is that being transferred over to Cincinnati?
I did think that. The murals are... were deeded to the airport by a nonprofit organization. And when the murals were deeded to that nonprofit organization, they provided for a first right of refusal by the city of Cincinnati. So the airport notified the city, and the city is choosing to exercise that right to take it. And the city council has passed an ordinance that would authorize the city to accept ownership of the murals.
It's not addressed in this agreement.
Yeah, I didn't know if it needed to be or not.
I was wondering the same thing after what he just stated. You know, somewhere that at some point, it could be years from now, that question's going to come up. So what do we have as evidence that this has been discussed and what that outcome is?
They just separate it, sounds like, to its own ordinance, right?
It's there's a council ordinance that documents that. So it's done through an ordinance, and then there will likely be a bill of sale that will actually pass title to the city. And so okay. There will be a record in that form as well.
But as of to date, we don't know when that process is going to occur with regarding the bill of sale.
Well, the actual transfer of ownership would likely occur at the time in which the city has inspected the murals and ensured that they're in a condition at which we're willing to accept them and place them on the convention center. So we would not take ownership until they actually arrive at the city, because there is a risk of loss prior to that time.
During the transporting process.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about 3 months out or so, if I remember the timing?
Joel may be able to speak better to that. I think it's going to start near the end of February, but it may be on a rolling process.
Okay.
So, Jeff, the hotel business is very fickle. We've experienced a few good years, but are you comfortable thinking that we'll have that much in excess hotel taxes for this obligation?
As of now, I am. Based upon the results that we've seen, I mean, we're doing very well. Our residual pool is pretty robust in terms of being able to address all of the policy prerogatives that the commissioners had wanted to place into the agreement. And I would defer in part to Roger on this, but the way I read the agreement is that to the degree we do not have sufficient revenue to cover it, it continues to roll as a liability until it is there.
Right. That's correct.
Okay. Fair enough.
Marion, is that your...
That would be the city's take on it as well. That was certainly the intent.
Good.
Without interest.
Right.
Yes, definitely. Is that in writing? Without interest?
Yeah. Yes.
What if?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Mm.
Yeah, there's no interest on the payback at all.
Okay.
My only thinking is I sure hope we get some kind of feedback about how much this thing costs, because I think by the time you get those things outside in the fresh air and try to enclose them and prevent them from decaying, it's going to take some real... Yes, John?
I had an opportunity to speak with Paul Mueller, the executive director of the Preservation Association,
mm-hmm.
and he spoke to that today. The upkeep, they've got about $50,000+ for a consultant on that very topic of preservation. The concerns are UV rays, heat, and even the vibrations from the expressway being.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You guys,
do you want me to talk?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got the room. So we might be room for another hour. Right? Although Gwen's got to leave, so.
I got to leave.
Kind of quick. And all those topics, and the good news is the conservator that Paul's going to pay for is the conservator that the airport's using, and it's the same one we recommended to the airport, and we'll use ourselves. So it's kind of... That's the good news there. We have an expert, and they're just out of Overland, Ohio, so they're recognized nationwide. So the best person to do this is actually just 200 miles north. As far as the other stuff on the cost, that's falling to me. And so far, everything we've worked at, we're looking, you know, most of it's timing. If I can get through the holidays and get good bids through the holidays, and that's kind of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we're... I'm feeling very good about that number. It's just a matter of, you know, getting it all to work in sequence, and a winter storm doesn't hit in the middle of all this. For things like the UV rays, again, we knew about all that. Even the glass in this building, and actually every building that's built today, blocks out a certain percentage of UV rays. The UV rays that can damage that the Preservation Society is the smallest amount of light as part of the overall sunlight that comes in. And again, 3M sells films that block that. Your sunglasses have it. It's not that cheap, but it is something you can get quickly. And then the vibration, even that, we thought, you know, same thing, they're all going to be put together on, you know, basically, you've seen the big rubber isolation things that all mechanical equipment sits on. Mm-hmm. So everything you could think of that side, even if you remember I talked last time about having it up in the air to watch out for a bumper, well, now we've slid it even further up because someone here mentioned larger trucks. So mm-hmm. we've tried to avoid everything we can.
Basically earthquake-proof, more or less?
Nothing's earthquake-proof, but they're everything you can do with, you know, an 80-year-old block wall that you're moving here. So.
Are you still able to visibly see them mm-hmm. under the glass with the UV film and whatnot?
Right.
Okay. Would there be any maintenance costs connected with this when it turns installed? I would have
if someone shot a window out. Those kind of things, again, that's something that's all, you hate to say it, people run into the convention center.
That was my concern,
right.
That bend.
So, those are always just covered as part of business as usual damage. Mm-hmm. The actual murals themselves, once they're taken care of, you know, in the first installation and put in place, mm-hmm. it's like every piece of art that's out there, there's stuff you do to it every year if you want to take care of it for decades. And there's stuff you come in and do in 20, 50, or in some cases, 100 years. These have gone 80 years, none of them touched once. So it's pretty much every 40 years. I mean, they look great today. So if we do the job right, 40 years from now, somebody will be back here touching them up, but not...
Not our problem.
Logistically, in planning for that transporting time and date, have they looked, are there certain precautions and certain temperatures, certain things that they need to be aware of, and the time frame, how long is it really going to take for this movement to occur?
The first date we've talked about is the weekend of February 20th, which is getting, you know, right in the middle of our funds.
Yeah.
The real truth is, the airport will not do anything if it's snowing because they've got to worry about landing planes, and the last thing they want is their insurance requirements with the airplanes is far worse than anything you could imagine. So they've already said that if it's a winter storm, they're shut down. They're not doing construction because their number one priority is landing planes. So,
yeah. So
it will kind of be good for us, but kind of bad too. But.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good. Any other questions? Any other comments on this? I think it's helpful to get some periodic update. Well, when would our next meeting be?
In February, probably, to do the distribution of the next round of the top residual. So that'd be a perfect time for an update.
That'll be a good time.
At that point, time will be a coordination or replacement for NOS.
Yes, and we'll have to do that. And
I think Cliff Bishop turbines as well, doesn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yes, we may have a couple.
Mayor Doyle Webster over in Springdale indicated he may have somebody in mind.
Okay.
I think the one goes through the municipal.
It does. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. I can bring it up in our next meeting here.
Okay. And I believe the mayor has another appointment. I believe. The vacancy that was Mark McKillop's old position is still vacant.
I think that was a city appointment.
So we have three. Yeah, we got a little bit of onboarding to do. I think.
Yes, we do.
See, Roger, we might have a quorum with only five people instead of six.
Can we look at a date for February? It's just around the corner. I mean, what do you all think? I mean,
well, it's got to be when things are ready, too. I think
we know it has to be ready in February.
Yeah, we usually do late. Yeah, that's exactly right. We usually do late February or early March. So,
would someone communicate to Lisa to pull the participants once a practical date range is just determined?
Okay.
Right.
I don't know what folks are. And the last couple of dates in Friday is in February the 19th and the 26th, and then you have March the 4th.
Well, I like the 19th.
If we could shoot for the 19th, that's the earliest, and unless anyone has any major conflict right now, I could touch base with Karen and Lisa, and we could see what the distribution, because a lot of it hinges on when the trustee is ready to do the distribution of the next round, and if it needs to be later, we could push it back, but we might as well start early. And
I know I'm available the 19th.
Okay.
19th sounds good.
Jeff, you want to talk with Lisa about pulsing the entire board on it?
What was the other, then the 26th?
The 26th and the 4th with, of March were the other. But I think the 4th may be a little too late, so probably look at the 19th and the 26th. But we'll get the precise date from the trustee.
I don't know. I'm just sitting here thinking if the 4th may be a little too early or the March may be a little bit too late, as you stated, perhaps we look at the mid-date, which is the 26th.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be here then.
No.
Not maybe. Okay. Well, let's see what the people what the people think.
We'll get something out.
Put those down.
If it's not next week, it'll be the first week of the new year. We'll get something out to everybody.
If you can't do it, you can't do it.
No.
Yeah, so we'll have to leave that up to the schedule. You know, what's a practical schedule? We don't want to have to schedule it and reschedule it. So
let's
see what the safe date is, and it might be the 26th or 4th. Or later. Sometimes it's been later, I think, too.
Yeah.
Which is okay. Okay. I think we've had a review of that, and what I'd like to do before Roger does a roll call on this is have we need a motion and a second to approve the 7th supplement to the cooperative agreement. Mr. Hill moved it.
Second.
They moved and seconded. As we seconded, is there any more discussion to have before we take a vote? Okay. Roger, would you like to take the vote?
Please? Certainly. Mr. Butler?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Walker?
Yes.
Ms. McFarland?
Yes.
And Mr. Meyer?
Yes.
The entire quorum voted.
It's been done.
Done.
It's been done. Well,
done.
I want to thank all of you for your support, and also want to thank all of you for attendance here today. I know it's not, I guess, Christmas a week away and a lot of other parties or things going on, but thank you so much for supporting us here. I really don't know what we would have done if we couldn't have done
it. Couldn't have done it today. I don't know when we could have done it. You're out of town all next month, right?
Well, I haven't decided that yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's
exactly right.
With Frontier Airlines,
I like that.
Now, it's a lot easier to get back.
Exactly. Need a motion to adjourn or adjourn by acclamation? Or?
Okay. I think, is there any other business anyone would like to bring? Motion to adjourn. Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
You adjourn. Thank you and thank you.
I was myself from Bridgeport.
Hi.
I'm good. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Do you want to convey these back to the panel side of the year? Okay. You guys want to pull the original Dan, you want to sign those three and then Mary?
Bloody paperwork.
So you're going down the board?
Yeah.
That's what you normally do, isn't it?
Well, normally we go down for 2 weeks and come back. And, you know, now that I'm really alone, So I'll just have to see. You know, it's just different. Living alone kind of sucks.
Yes. Yes. You have to adjust, and you never really adjust.
No. That's tough.
I don't remember. There was a gentleman, you probably know,
Al,
and he had, there was an important meeting. I don't know how he managed it. And he couldn't leave wherever he was down in Florida. And so he managed for the board to get a quorum to come down. They conducted the meeting.
That's a smart guy.
Don't ask him.
That's good as long as people's ways are paid. But if
but if you pay it yourself, no.
It's not actually, private. But it's more expensive to find a place to stay than it is to get down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wherever he was, they stayed there. Yeah.
Well, there was an incentive. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.